You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Our most gracious and ever-living God, I pray at this time that in the end and that ultimately, as we gather together in your name, that you would be present with us in the midst and the gift of your Spirit, and that the word that which would go forth at this time would not be mine, but Jesus, your Son, and that he indeed would take root in our hearts and in our lives, we pray, that we might find the life which is found in him. And all this I ask, all this I offer now, in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the time of year, at least in my life, and perhaps in yours as well, this is the time of year for graduations and weddings. I feel like I've been on the graduation and wedding circuit. Yesterday, I had a graduation and a wedding, and so it's that time of year. And as I've thought about that, and particularly graduations, one of the things I thought about are commencement speeches, graduation speeches. And I'm wondering if you remember them from your day. And I can tell you, I see mixed responses on the faces out there. I can tell you, for myself, of course, not surprisingly, I have no idea who the commencement speaker was for my high school graduation. Maybe this is a bad thing, maybe this is a good thing. At the very least, it's a thing. I don't remember who the commencement speaker was for my seminary graduation either, which, you know, perhaps there's something entirely right and holy that I don't remember who that person was. I do remember my college graduation commencement speaker, and also the speaker at the baccalaureate as well. So just not that you care, but now you know. That's the extent. I sort of remember the middle portion, the earlier and the later portions, I don't remember. So there it is. But I was thinking about commencement speeches and what do they typically entail? And of course, oftentimes they're words of congratulations, words of reflection, words of advice, which are given. That's often what we hear at commencement speeches, graduation speeches, people trying to impart some sort of word of guidance and wisdom to those who are going forth. And in thinking about all of this, I did some research, best and worst commencement speeches, and so some interesting things. But one of the things I found out, do y'all remember, I'm not sure if you remember Jerry Springer, if anybody remembers, and you don't have to admit it, if you do remember Jerry Springer, he was sort of in many ways kind of the among the worst of the worst of daytime TV, and he had a talk show, and he would invite people on to the talk show, and inevitably it would be some horrible reveal, at which point all the folks on stage would begin to more often than not, literally attack one another, and that was it was a pretty simple formula, and that was the Jerry Springer show. How can we whip people up and divide people against one another? What bombshell can we drop? And so I mention all of that because I did not know this. Jerry Springer is a graduate of the law school at Northwestern. You may not have known that, and you might see what's coming here. He was actually invited in 2008 to give the commencement speech at the law school graduation of Northwestern University, and you can imagine the excitement of the students when they heard that Jerry Springer had been invited to give their commencement address. And they wrote to the paper, the legal news site Above the Law, and one of the particular words which was written to that was, "Although we understand that in some respects, Mr. Springer represents the best and also the worst of American First Amendment rights, we do not believe that he is worthy of addressing the class of 2008. And interestingly, what went on to happen, apparently, Jerry Springer had an entirely fantastic commencement speech, and he actually received a standing ovation at the, I was not there, but that's what I read according to my research, and this is among the words that he shared with those there. To the students who invited me, thank you. I am honored. To the students who object to my presence, well, you've got a point, he said. He said, I too would have chosen someone else. But once asked, it would have been kind of arrogant or at least unappreciative for me to have said no, so here I am. And he continues on, I've been lucky enough to enjoy a comfortable measure of success in my various careers, but let's be honest, I've been virtually everything you can't respect. A lawyer, a mayor, a major news anchor, and a talk show host. Pray for me. If I get to heaven, we're all going, was what Jerry Springer said in his commencement address. But there was apparently a certain humility, a certain honesty, which won folks over. But I think part of what they found compelling, and part of why I share that with you this morning, is despite this is Jerry Springer, but he had the realization, I'm here by invitation. Do I deserve to be here? Absolutely not. And yet, here I am by invitation. I'm grateful for the invitation. I'm responsive to the invitation. And I begin sharing all of this with you as we reflect on these passages before us this morning, because in some ways, what we have are commencement speeches of sorts. This is the end of Matthew's gospel as Jesus gives the Great Commission and sends forth his followers. We also hear this portion at the end of 2 Corinthians as Paul ends with those words, finally, he says to his followers, finally, brothers, rejoice. And I want to talk a little bit about discipleship and what that looks like for you and for me. And part of what I'd like to say to you and to me is what it is an invitation. What it is an invitation to abide in the nature and the character of God. Rather than a personal accomplishment for you and for me, it's an invitation to abide in the nature and the character and the accomplishments of our God. As Jesus sends forward the disciples, of course, he says those words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And it's important for us to note, Jesus refers to himself rather than to you and to me. All authority is on heaven and earth has been given to me. And he tells them to go forth. And it's interesting because it's translated to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But really, what that word means is baptizing them into. It's yours and my invitation to live and to find our life and to find our standing, not in what we've done, but what God has done. What God has done as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. Discipleship is not meaning we have all the answers. It's not meaning we're getting better and better day by day. It's an invitation into dependence. It's an invitation into dwelling and abiding in the nature and the character of our God, and finding our strength and finding our freedom, finding our peace, finding our purpose in that. And Paul invites the Corinthians as well to be people who rejoice. People who rejoice in the fact that they were lost and they've been found. To be people who have been reconciled. People who are cut off from God and cut off from one another. To be people who are reconciled to God and who are also to be reconcilers. Because if you remember, one of the things about the Corinthians, there was not just the, quote, problems of the world and their collusion and their getting drawn into all of that, but there was also the spiritual pride and the jockeying and the enmity within the community of faith as well. And they're invited to abide, again, not in what they have done, but to abide in what God has done. I listened recently, maybe some of you have as well, on Audible, and this isn't a commercial, but it's James Taylor telling the story. He's reading the story of his first 21 years of life, and it's called Breakpoint, is the name of it. And if you remember anything about James Taylor's story, one of the things that has marked his life has been addiction to various things, but mainly heroin and other things as well. And he tells the story And he tells the story of his father, who had his own alcohol addictions, and these addictions that ran through his family and that affected his brother and ultimately leading to his brother's death, and talked about his time in and out of mental hospitals and members of his family. But he tells the story. He was a young man at this time. He was 18. He was 18, and he was living on his own in New York City. While he was there, he became addicted to heroin. And one day, he was as low as he could possibly go, and he actually called his father. And he didn't tell his dad what was going on, but his dad heard it in his voice. And his dad said to him, really simply, son, how are you doing? And again, James is reading this and telling a story, and he said really simply to his dad, you know, I'm not doing well. And his dad's response was this. He asked him for his address, and he said, stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming for you. And he said his dad went and rented a car, drove through the night from North Carolina, collected him there in the city, and took him back home. And I don't know about you, but when I heard him telling that story, it really hit me. Those words from his father, as simple as they are and yet so powerful, don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are. I'm coming for you. As you and I are people who are disciples who offer this invitation, what we're offering is the nature and the character of God, who says to us and doesn't just say to us but reveals to us in Jesus' Son, stay right where you are. I'm coming to get you. Stay right where you are. I'm coming for you. What we hear this day is this amazing invitation to live a life which is free, and to live a life which is full. And life is always trying to pull us away from that. It's always a roller coaster, isn't it? Times when it's closer, times when it's farther, times when it's easier, times when it's harder. But one of the things that you notice, one of the things that's said in both of these lessons we hear in Corinthians, and we also hear it in the gospel, is that I will not leave you. We hear a God who promises that I will not leave you. Jesus' final words to them, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, to the end of your life, to the end of your rope, whatever it might be. His saying, you will not be alone, I am with you. One of the promises that Jesus makes is that he will not leave us comfortless, but he will send the Holy Spirit. Share a final story with you. Thinking about this summertime years ago, our kids were just little at this point, and a friend of ours had this place down at the beach, and this beach community invited us to go, and we went down there, you know, having a great time. And my daughter discovered something that had been unknown to her before, and it was poolside service. And again, she's just little at this point. Maybe she's six or so at the time, and she discovers this thing called poolside service, and it was all free. Chicken fingers, pina coladas, non-alcoholic, and French fries, whatever. You just sort of said the word, and it was brought to you. It was the most amazing, free, incredible place ever, and she had found her home. And then it came time for us to return, time to go back to the real world, time to go home. And I can still remember, I can visualize it as we're leaving. She is literally clutching the banister, and she is screaming at, like, she's literally sideways, and I'm trying to pull her out of this, and she's just, no! She was not leaving, probably left claw marks on the banister as we left, and it's funny because why I remember that, she's like, you know what? This place is the greatest. It's free. This place is free. This place is amazing. Why would I ever leave this place? And I hold out to you the message of the gospel this morning, yours and my freedom. Yours and my freedom. What came at a cost to God is free to you and to me. And our discipleship is the invitation to abide in that reality, that we're people for whom God has sought us. God has loved us. God has won and reconciled us through his cross and through his resurrection. And Paul repeatedly talks about his own life, and he says, you know, previously I checked all these marks of accomplishment and all these marks of acquisition, and I thought I was really something, but now I realize that they're all rubbish, is what he says as he writes to the Philippians, compared to knowing the surprising greatness that is living in relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. He writes this. He says, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That is the incredible freeing message of the gospel, of a God who seeks us, who comes to make us his own. And the invitation goes out to you and to me this day to live in the reality of that, and allow the power of that, the freedom of that, to shape not only our lives, but to be a reconciling, life-giving force in all of our relationships. And as we hear that this day, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are living and active, that you exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us gathered this day, I pray. Continue that good and gracious and life-giving, reconciling work, that we might be your disciples, that we might know the freedom of life in you, and that we might be those who share that good news. All this we ask and ourselves we offer, and the thanks we give in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.